I love the orchestra that you have here. What a blessing it is. Does anyone play? Yeah, there's a French horn right there. I always wanted to learn how to play a French horn, but I never got to learn it. I've always enjoyed hearing others play it, though. And all of these instruments, what a blessing it is. Don't ever, ever take your music program for granted. Amen. It's a real blessing to come into a church that loves music. And from the pastor, I've watched him, and he is right in there with it. I love your choir director as your congregational leader. The excitement that they show in leading music, it's just a blessing. When you go, I've been in many churches over the last several years, preaching and visiting when we're out and about this way. And we try to learn something everywhere we go. My son was here last week. I think he sang last Sunday here. And he came home and he said, "That's a good church, Dad." He said, "That's a good church." And he said, "I learned a lot while I was there." So it's a real blessing, and it's a blessing to be here tonight. I honestly didn't expect to have the opportunity to preach tonight. I think I'm going to throw up. I'm just playing. I'm not going to do that. Is that okay to say that from the pulpit? Is it all right? My daughter-in-law told me one time, she said, "There are some words, Dad, that you just don't need to say behind the pulpit." And I said, "Okay, well, then I'll step over here and say it then, you know." And I never get used to preaching. And I get nervous in my pulpit. When I surrendered to preach 31 years ago, we had two nursing homes, and my wife and I and our children, we went to two nursing homes every week for 5.5 years. And in the middle of that period of time, God opened the door for me to take the first church that I pastored during that time. And I was nervous in the nursing home, preaching to people that slept through all of the messages I preached. And I was always nervous. Our pastor, when I was growing up, he would have preachers' meetings, and he would have people come in, preachers come in. They'd call them from the floor, and they'd come up and preach. And some of them were real cocky, you know, and real bold. And the one young man in particular came to the pulpit, ran up to the pulpit, and got up to the pulpit and began to preach, and just fumbled all over his message. And he broke down in tears, walked down back down to the pew in tears, and sat down, feeling humiliated. And the pastor made the statement when he came to the pulpit. He said, "You know, son," he said, "if you had just come up the way you went down, things would have been a whole lot different." And I learned something when I heard that, and it's absolutely true. It's an humble place to be behind a man's pulpit, and I appreciate the opportunity. Now, he doesn't. Now, there's water up here somewhere. Is it right here? Okay. All right. So I told him half a bottle is 45 minutes, but this here is like an hour and 45 minutes, something like that. So he went ahead and gave me an hour and 45 minutes. I know what he's trying to say there. But I'll try to be short tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. This evening, Matthew chapter number 7. I appreciate Pastor Butts and his wife, and you dear folks for allowing my wife and daughter to be a part of this church these last several weeks. And in the weeks to come, it has been a blessing to them, and it's a blessing to us. My wife and daughter are staying at the Ronald McDonald House, for those that may not know that. And Cody, of course, he's back in the nursery, and he looks forward to coming to church here. He looks forward to everything, to be honest with you. He'll wake up in the morning and he'll say, "It's a great day." He's 2 and a half, almost 3 years old. It's a great day, and he looks forward to coming here. And it's a comfort to us to know that you folks are here for them. And we appreciate all that you do in welcoming them here. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read two verses here tonight. Tell you what, let's do this. If you'll stand with me. I don't know if you do this here. I haven't picked up on that. But Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. I want us to read these two verses out loud together here tonight. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Ready? Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And everybody said, amen. And that's the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless now the reading of your word. We thank you for it. Thank you for loving us enough to give us a copy of it. We can open it up and go to it. When we need comfort, when we need strength, when we need to be challenged, when we need to be reproved. God, I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the reading of it. I pray now that you'd bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The broad way and the narrow way. And I want us to think about those two subject matters tonight. The broad way and the narrow way. Let me say this. I appreciate your pastor's delivery. I heard many preachers through the years, and I thought, oh, I wish I could preach like that. I wish I could teach like that. I wish I could do. But you know, God made us all different, didn't he? And he created us that way. He gave us all personalities that are different. But I appreciate his delivery and the way that he brings about a message. And everything that I've heard has just been an absolute blessing to me. And so tonight we're going to look at this thought of the broad way and the narrow way. Now we have, from what I understand, we have some graduates, maybe some high school graduates here tonight. We have maybe some college graduates here tonight. We may have some folks that are looking to get married. I don't know. Maybe that's not going to happen here, but you may be hoping to get married one of these days, but you have a desire, you have a dream in front of you, you have hopes and plans for the future. Moms and dads with children, you have hopes and plans for your future. Years ago, my wife and I—I'll give you a little background with us. We got saved. I was a part of an independent Baptist church. I would not say that we were as separated as we should have been. I would say that we were not. My wife was part of a Southern Baptist church, and they were pretty much the same as our church was, Independent Baptist. But they were probably a little carnal as our church was, and so we got married, and we did everything that we knew to do. Everything that we had been taught to do. But they were not always necessarily the right things to do. And so we got married. I was telling the pastor earlier today that my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, he and his wife got married 2 months before we did. We were married in November. They were married in September, I think is when it was. And they started going to an independent Baptist church in Marietta, Georgia. And so we had already been talking about maybe changing churches because of things. And we went over to visit. Make a long story short, the Lord led us there. But we found out about a Sword of the Lord conference in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And so this was 1983. We were married in 1982. So In March or May of 83, we went to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We had no clue what it was going to be about, but we found out that it was going to be a really good service, a good time. And so we went, as we always would, to church, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but we went there expecting something totally different than what we actually got. And so we went there. We borrowed my grandfather's car because none of us had, my brother and I and his wife and my wife, we took off up to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, borrowed my grandfather's car because we didn't have a car that would make it 4 hours up the road. And so we went up there, stayed all week long, heard preaching like we had never heard before. And it absolutely changed our lives. The truth of God's word will absolutely change your life. Do you agree with that? It will absolutely change your life. We were headed down a broad road. My wife and I were, my brother and his wife were, but we were excited about the things of God. We just didn't know anything. And we made some conscious decisions. I came out of a background that was, I rebelled against my parents. My parents divorced when I was 15. And we lived in a home that was dysfunctional, to say the least. And all of my brothers, I have two brothers. Of course, we all grew up in a dysfunctional home. And our parents divorced, and they went in different directions. And make a long story short, all of us boys now are preachers. I pastored, my middle brother pastors, and my youngest brother, he taught in a college up in Idaho or Iowa, somewhere up there, and he just now moved back. And he's a lay preacher, but loves the Lord. We all love the Lord. And people that know us, that knew us then, they look at us and say, how in this world did you turn out for it to be anything for the Lord? And we say, well, I don't know. We don't see ourselves as anything anyway. But God blessed our lives and God blessed our families. And the reason for it is because we chose the right roads to go down. The road of the Broadway is an easy road. I pastored up in North Georgia. We started a church up there several years ago, and I got a job on the side, and I began to drive a school bus. Do we have any school bus drivers in here? Anybody? Okay. I drove a school bus. And one thing I found out about a school bus, do we have any truck drivers in here? Anybody? Okay. All right. So do we have any rich people? No, I'm just kidding. So I'm driving, I'm learning how to drive a big school bus. And up in North Georgia, up in the hills of North Georgia, there are narrow roads. I mean, narrow roads. Barely wide enough for a school bus to get down, much less two school buses. But we would venture down those roads, and we would have to slow down, take our time, and plan our route, and make sure that we were going to be the only ones on those roads when we drove down many of them. But I found out that it's so much more relaxing to go down the wide four-lane roads. Amen? And you would agree with that. You can imagine that. But it is a difficult thing. So that broad way is a way that is an easy path. And my wife and I were on that easy path. My brother and his wife, we were all on that easy path until we went and heard some preaching. And the Word of God began to do a work in our hearts and began to change our lives. If you'll notice there again in Matthew 7, verse 13, he tells us now to enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in at thereat. We made the decision, the conscious decision, to leave our carnal Christian lives. By the way, I tell our church this, and I'll say this. If your pastor says something different than what I'm saying to you, he's right and I'm wrong. Amen? You understand that? He is right and I'm wrong. But this is what I tell our church. I tell them to be very careful about identifying yourself as a Christian. Amen? The word Christian means what? Christ-like. Christ-likeness. The world is watching us. Our families are watching us. And our lives, if we're not careful, if we're not living up to that name of a Christian, then they will take that to heart. And we may find that our testimony is not the Christian life in their eyes that God wants. And so I tell our folks, I say, look, you're saved by the grace of God. And what we really are is we're a bunch of saved sinners. Amen? But God wants us to live the Christian life. This part of the Sermon on the Mount here, it concentrates on a man at the crossroads. There are two possibilities which we have to choose. Most of the time, this passage is not necessarily preached in its context. We talk about the road to hell and the road to everlasting life, but an application can be made in such a way to salvation, but it's not primarily, I believe, the application that Christ wants us to use here. So in Matthew 7:13, he says, "Broad or wide and spacious is the way that leadeth to destruction." The word "leadeth" there carries with it the meaning of taking off or carrying us away. It's easier to go down a broad path. It's easier to fly down that broad path. It's easier to carry things away in a broad path. It's a little more difficult to maneuver down a narrow path. And so he tells us to enter at the straight gate. The wide gate is broad and leads to destruction. The blessings of God come on a narrow path. And we found that out in the early stages of our married life. The account that's given here is the bad way of sin and the good way of holiness. But there are two ways. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. There are good ways and there are evil ways. There's a way to heaven and there's a way to hell. In the one of which we are all of us are walking, no middle place and no middle way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life." Dr. Lee Robinson used to say, everything rises and falls on leadership. And so what was he saying? He was saying, men of God, we need to stand and we need to take a stand for those things which are right. But preachers have chosen to change Bibles. They've chosen to change Bibles. Evangelist Sam Jones made this statement one time. He said, "This is the book of books. This is the book of knowledge. This is the book which tells us how to get to heaven. Glory to God for this precious book." He said, "My mother lived by its precepts and pillowed her head upon it. It was the book of my father. It was the light of his home." But men have decided to change books. I stand on the old King James Bible. Amen? The old King James Bible, I believe, is the Word of God. But preachers have chosen to change their Bibles. Preachers have chosen to change dress standards, to water down sermons. They've chosen to think more about money than the souls of men and women and boys and girls. What have they decided? Hey, I'm going to go down the broad road. Colleges have chosen to go down a broad road. Instead of the narrow way, they've chosen to go down a broad way. Preachers have decided to require less from leaders, not expecting more from leaders, but expecting less from leaders. They've decided to change their music. They've changed their ecclesiastical separation. And that's simply knowing who to fellowship with and who not to fellowship with. And so what are they saying? Well, they're saying, hey, it's the broad road and everybody else is doing it. And I'm going to follow right along with them. If he's doing it, if he's changing it, then it must be okay for me to change that. Amen? That's why it's important that we not follow a man. We must not follow a man other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Parents have chosen to look the other way and make excuses for their child's behavior. Parents have chosen not to discipline. Parents have chosen not to demand respect in the home. Parents have chosen to require less and less from their children. Parents have chosen to back off the pressure of living right after the kids become teenagers. That's a difficult time. And those of you that have trained teenagers, training up a child in the way they should go, and training those teenagers, those teenage years, it becomes a difficult and a difficult task sometimes in training up teenage children. Parents have chosen to lower their personal standards in order to accommodate family. I appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. I wish I could remember what it was all about right now. It had something to do with the Bible. I had my notes. I didn't have a pen. I didn't bring a pen with me this morning. Don't criticize me for not doing that. So I took my iPhone out and started making notes in my phone there, you know, so that I could get everything down. And then my wife brought out a pink pen that she got at the ladies' meeting yesterday. And I started writing everything down there. But it was a wonderful message, and it had to do with associations. Who do you associate with? Conscious decisions to associate with the right people because they influence our lives. But parents have decided to back off the pressure of living right after the kids become teenagers. Amen? And so then the prisoners become the controllers of the asylums, amen, or the prison house. And so if we're not careful. But parents have chosen that. They have chosen to keep each other unaccountable as well as the children for fear of offending the children. And that's a dangerous place to be. You say, well, that doesn't go on here. And I'm sure that it doesn't. I'm sure that it doesn't. But in some homes, it still does. It does. And we have to be careful about that. Parents have chosen to allow any kind of music in the home. Anything in the home. And I'm not going to start naming off names of groups and things of that nature, but if we're not careful, we'll find those things that we're sowing into our children's life in moderation, our children will take into an excess in one day. And so this is what we say. Well, it's the broad road and everybody else is doing it. My brother and his wife are doing it. My young brother and his wife, they're doing it. So it must be okay for me. Mom and dad are doing it now, so it must be all right. I've always trusted mom and dad. Let me tell you something. We had better learn to measure our lives based on the Word of God. That narrow Word of God. And God expects us to live in such a way. Children have chosen not to continue to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am anymore. Moms and dads have chosen not to enforce those types of things. That's the way we brought our children up. I'll never forget years ago, we were out soul winning. You call it visiting here. We call it visiting as well. But our oldest son and his little brother, which was Andrew that was here the other night, were out soul winning one day and they knocked on the door. And this elderly man up in his 80s, he came to the door. And our oldest son, Tyler, he would always take the lead and begin to talk to the people and ask questions and so on. And the elderly man said, where are you from? He said, well, sir, he said, I'm from Calvary Baptist Church, just right down the road here. We're out visiting today, inviting people to church. He said, you are? And he said, yes, sir. And what is your name? My name is Andrew, sir. And he said, is that what you're doing? Yes, sir. And the whole time there were yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. And he, when he came back to me and he told me, he said, Dad, that man would not have listened to us had we not respected who he was. And so I was thanking God that it was ingrained in their hearts and in their minds to respect. And we show that, but people don't want to do that anymore. It's not yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am anymore. It's not demanding. A lot of Christian schools don't even demand that anymore. And I would encourage you as parents, always, teachers, train them up in the way they should go and let them show that respect to their elders. To question. Children have decided to question everything they were ever taught. They reach an age in life where they begin to doubt and question whether dad was right, mom was right, the church that they grew up in was right. They question. They decide that they were smarter than their parents were. They were smarter than their pastor was. They were smarter than that Sunday school teacher that invested in their lives for years and years and years. children. They've decided to show rebellion without ever saying anything. You ever seen someone that would look through their eyebrows at you? You've been in Christian school. If you ever worked in Christian school, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. With youth groups, they look at you like you don't know what you're talking about, you know, looking through those eyebrows. And showing rebellion without ever saying anything. And they look around and they say, well, you know, everybody else is doing it. It's a broad road. Everyone else is doing it. Grandparents have chosen to be the good guys instead of standing in the gap for what is right. Amen? My wife and I are grandparents. We've been, we have six, I think, and one on the way. Is that right? Am I right about that? Six now and one on the way. Hard to keep up with them now. Kate will be here before you know it. What a blessing that's going to be. But we can't back down. If what we were teaching and preaching and training in our children as they were growing up years ago, our oldest son now is 30-something, 35. 35 years old. If what we taught him as a little boy was right then, it's right today. God's word never changes. God never changes. But grandparents have decided, I'm going to be the good guy, instead of standing in the gap for what is right. Grandparents have decided to slack up on God by thinking that they have paid their dues. Now it's your time to teach that younger generation. Grandparents have decided to revert back to being a kid again. They've decided to spend more time vacationing away from God and away from the things of God than keeping His word and supporting their local church. That happens. For 2.5 years, I was in between churches, and so I was doing evangelistic work all throughout North Georgia and up into Tennessee and a couple of other places. And so in 2.5 years, we were in over 68 churches. I think it was probably set closer to 75 or maybe 80 churches and preaching. And one thing that I noticed everywhere we went is these things were taking place. And when people would sit and listen to what I'm preaching to you tonight, it was as if they would bow up and the hair on the back of their neck would stand up. I don't believe that to be true here. I believe this is a sound church. You folks love God and you're doing the work of the Lord here. That's why we came here to be with you. But it's amazing in churches how that folks decide, hey, I'm just going to spend, look, I've served my time there. I cleaned that church for 30 years. I've cleaned the toilets. I taught Sunday school. I preached. I pastored. And now it's time for me to just hit the road. God never gives up on us, and we should never give up on Him. In Exodus 34:14, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. And they go a-whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten image. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many believe the Lord's coming has got to be soon? Amen. Do you believe that? We need to grow old for Jesus. Grow old with Jesus. Heard a preacher say, I want to burn out for the Lord. I don't want to burn out for the Lord. I heard another man say, I want to rust out for God. I don't want to rust out for the Lord. I want to go until I cannot go anymore and just keep going. Keep going for the Lord. But it's the broad road. And everybody is doing it. We're not to look around. Young people, don't look around and say, well, just because my best friend is doing it, it must be right. and their mom and dad are in church. They turned out okay. Let me tell you, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. And He's not slack concerning His truth. And His truth never changes. We all have a choice. And the choice is either a broad road or a narrow road. It's either a broad choice or a narrow choice. It's amazing to me, the people that grow up in a church like this and get older, and then they get into another college. Let me just say this. All Bible colleges are not necessarily good places to be, because students come from places unlike this place. They come from every shape, style, church, teaching, preaching, and they come to those places, some that have hardly any teaching at all. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself associating and being influenced by young people that were not brought up the way you were. That's why you leave and you have to go and decide, hey, I'm going to stay narrow. I'm going to stay in God's Word. I'm going to have a walk with God. I'm going to have a relationship with Him. I'm going to continue to love Him. I'm going to continue to live the life that is pleasing to God. I'm not going down that broad road. But we all have that choice. Every decision in life represents a choice for either the narrow way or the broad way. The narrow way or the broad way. Growing up, our children, we moved into a neighborhood 16 years ago. And we moved into that neighborhood, and we told our children, now there are kids across the street, there are kids right down the road here, there's some right next to us here, and some over here, but you can't play with all the kids. Amen? You can't play with everyone. You have to be careful. We have to. Why? Because they're not being brought up the same way that you're being brought up. And their behavior is not the same as what we expect from you. But every person, every decision in life will represent a choice for either a narrow or a broad way. Every person must choose that. Every family must choose that broad or narrow way. Every church must choose the broad or the narrow way. Crossroads confront everybody and every entity from time to time. Crossroads are deeper than any single issue that you or I can think of. Crossroads involve choices, many choices, that are made long before a crossroad will manifest itself. So the crossroads of life, those choices, are so important every single day of our life. Every church will come to a crossroad and must choose either a broad way or the narrow way across this nation. Churches are changing just like this, week in and week out. I was listening to a preacher, and I don't know where he comes up with these statistics, but he made the statement just this week. He said over 4,000 churches, not necessarily independent Baptist churches, but 4,000 churches close their doors every year in America. 4,000 churches. That seems hard to imagine, but it is happening. And I would say at least that many, if not more, are changing, compromising on the words, the Word of God. Every church will come to that crossroad. They'll come to the crossroad regarding missions, what they're requiring of missionaries. And our church require that our missionaries are soul winners. They must be soul winners. Amen? And if they're not winning people to Christ here on deputation, they're certainly not going to win them over there. And so I ask for a response. I want to know, what did you do this past year? Let us know what you did this past year. We're investing in the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, not just in Malawi, amen, not just in Papua New Guinea, not just in England or up in Canada or in the Philippines, but we're investing in souls right here in America, amen. You live in an area, we passed a sign on the way here this morning, and I noticed it, 145 languages right here in Houston. 145 languages, that's probably, that may be an understatement a little bit. There may be more than that. But it's amazing. The mission field is right here. Our church, we're sitting in a place right now where I grew up, is where I pastor. And it is an absolute mission field. They have moved to where we are. And we're doing our best to reach them for the cause of Christ. But we have to make that decision. Churches have to decide about their missions giving, about who they're going to support and not support. And soul winning, we have to make that decision. Are we going to be a soul winning ministry, leading folks to Christ? Are we going to become part of that soul winning ministry? I have a message I thought about preaching tonight regarding that beautiful trio of instruments. That trio of instruments. God gave us, He created us, He gave us the Holy Spirit, and He gave us the Word of God. We are part of that trio of instruments that can reach a lost and dying world. I noticed your sign up here. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Who is ye? Well, ye is us. Ye is we. We are to go into the world and preach the gospel. Every single one of us. I thought tonight I would preach that. But without us, the gospel, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. And the gospel will never be given out. Soul winning. Every church, every church has to make that decision about reaching people for Christ. My wife mentioned today an idea that you had of giving out tracts to everybody. I guess Spanish tracts and all different types of tracts, and finding somebody to make sure that those tracts went into their hands. What a wonderful idea. This area here has a diverse people. Reaching people for Christ. Every church must decide on what Bible to use. Well, everybody else, Charles Stanley's using the NIV. I don't really know what he's using now. Why can't we use the NIV? Amen? God is not the author of what? Confusion. He is not the author of confusion. But every church has to decide where they're going to stand on the Word of God. Ecclesiastical separation. Worship, so-called, and praise, so-called. Convictions and standards. Just because someone down the road is doing it this way, we have to be careful. We talk about ecclesiastical separation. We have to be careful where we live in our area, in the community that we live in, that whole southwest part of the state of Georgia. Churches there fellowship with one another all the time. And they're constantly, and we're being invited to all of these different meetings, but they're constantly building bridges one to another. Constantly, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. They'll go there and they'll see how things are done, and they'll come back and they'll say, well, let's bring some of this back into our church. And we have to say, no, we have to continue to stand on the King James Bible is the Word of God. Conservative music, Christian music, is what we're going to, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's what we're going to stand for. And this worship and praise, we can stay away from that. Conviction. There are two gates that we must choose. You will either enter at the narrow gate, or you will enter in the broad, at the broad gate. That plenty of space, there's plenty of space there for diversity. We have to choose. Two crowds are involved. The broad way leads to many with destruction. It's simple to understand. That broad way is a simple place to go and a simple way to understand. They tell me that the worship and praise types of songs are just simply one line sung over and over and over and over and over again. That sounds pretty simple to me. But that's exactly what the world is looking for. But that narrow way is a place where it leads to life, and few there be that find it. But it's equally as easy to understand. So what determines your way? What determines your way and my way are the choices that we make. And I look back years ago, and I think about my wife and I and the decisions that we made years ago, and I thank God. We were just a young couple searching. We really had no one to lead us in the direction that we should go. But I thank God that there were men that stood and preached and taught. God moved in our hearts. You don't start out to choose the broad way, but every choice takes you off course just a little bit at a time. A little at a time. The natural man has a tendency to head towards the broad way. Well, this will be the easiest way to go. You know, Houston, this area here, these roads are crazy. It's amazing to me. If it were not for, my wife said today, what if we had to use road maps like we used to? She was my GPS. You've probably heard your preacher say this many times. My GPS sat on the right-hand side of me everywhere we went. And she would say, turn here. No, you missed it. Turn around and go back. Make a U-turn. Turn around and go back. And but I'm glad we've got GPS now. But it's crazy. The roads, they take you everywhere. We're heading down one of those highways. And she said, stay in the right-hand lane. So I got in the right-hand lane, and it said exit only. So I would get over, and I found out that that lane, the lane that said exit only, went straight also. So it was just crazy. And I said, this is absolutely confusing to me. But there are two ways, two gates, the broad way and the narrow way. The natural man has a tendency to head towards that broad way. There are groups and churches that once knew life, but now they're dead. They were destroyed. They did not die choosing the narrow way. It's not the size of the crowd that gives us the way that we should choose, and it should not be one man in America that gives us the way to choose. It's not the past or choices in the past, but rather the narrow choices that you're making right now. All of us in this room, I'm 59 years old, and I'm still making choices. Every day we make choices, and we never outlive that. It's not others that determine our way, but it's this book right here that should determine our way. That narrow book should determine our way. And the truth is, in my church, I do my best to rightly divide the word of truth. But the truth of the matter is, we all make our own choices. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. But who makes the final choice? You do. And that final choice should be made based on the Word of God. It's not our culture that determines our way. It's us. It's not others that determine our way. It's the book. The broad way is a place of apparent freedom. It's broad. It's easy to travel. But it eventually will be used to bind and trap any child of God. The narrow way seems confined and restricted. But the freedom that Christ offers us through the narrow way is truth and liberty. And it is only found in the narrow way. I pastored in Pennsylvania for a few years. And there was one particular road. I believe that it was called Doe Run Road. They should have called it Death Valley, because there was a dip in the road, and it was just a small, narrow road, not much wider than the aisle here. And every time you went down into that valley, there were skunks dead on the sides of the road. It's an awful place to go through and smell every time you went through. But I thought about that when I thought about this, how narrow. You couldn't even dodge one if they came across. But it was a narrow way. It was the only way to get over to where our church was. But we had to go through that. The narrow way sometimes is hard to navigate through. But with God's Word and the truths and the blueprint that He's given to all. Look, you have been trained right. Young people, you've been trained. If you've grown up, how many have grown up in this church? You've grown up here. Hold your hands up high so I can see. You've grown up here, okay? Okay? How many are in school here? Hold your hands up. In this church. Okay, very good. I saw a few hands there. But you've been trained right. The pastor and I sat in his office just a few minutes ago, and he said, I think we're on the same page, something to that effect. He didn't know me. He didn't really know what I would say when I came out here tonight. I've got a message that I was going to preach, and the message was this. Are you ready? There are hypocrites in this church. How many would agree with that? Hold your hand up. I preached that at our church, but this is the way I titled it, our church. This church is filled with hypocrites. And I said, how many would say this church is filled with hypocrites? And two other preachers were in there, and they raised their hands. Amen. So he didn't know what I was going to preach. But the truth is, many times we are hypocrites. We say, well, I'm not headed down that broad road. I'm headed down the narrow road. Is that true about every area of your life? Did you walk with God today? I know that challenge, that question was given to all of us this morning. Have you walked with the Lord today? Did you find time to get along with Him today? So yeah, I prayed this morning. No, did He speak to you today? What about tomorrow? Tuesday, Wednesday. Those that are graduating from school, all the requirements now will be lifted once you're out of school and you go somewhere else. You'll get new requirements, but will you still be walking with God? Will you still open up His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart every day? That's where we become hypocrites. One face here and one face there, one mask here and another mask there. But everybody else is doing it. The road is broad. I'm going to follow my friends. I'm going to follow my family. I'm going to follow whomever will lead me. If we're not careful, we'll make those small decisions, one here, one there, one here, one there. And when you're 59 years old, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself out wandering. And even the FBI wouldn't be able to find you. Tonight, do you know, first of all, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? I believe probably everyone here would. But I don't know that. The only person that I know that's saved in this room is me. I'm the only one that I know is saved. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I want to give you this illustration, and I'm going to be done. Years ago, we lived in Pennsylvania. President Bush was supposed to be flying into the state to look over some of the power plants that were the nuclear power plants that were there. We had heard that, but we had driven into town, and we were coming back home up through a town called Lidditz area. And we came down a hill, and we noticed that cars were pulled off to the side of the road. It was past the little county airport that was there. And as we were traveling down the road, we saw men in black suits, glasses, with hearing aids there, I guess, whatever you want to call those things. And they were running up and down the road, getting people off the road and pointing us to places to park and so on. We went up the hill, pulled over into the parking lot up there, got out of the car and took all of our children and went over to find out what was going on. And someone said, the president's about to land here. We said, really? And so we want to see this. So we walked over to the road and to close to where the airport was, and they said the helicopters will be coming in just a moment. And so we stood there and waited. Now, when he was president, I watched the 9/11 attacks. I watched him as he gave reports and was on the news and all that. And I thought I knew this man. I read a book that was written about him. I studied him. I thought I knew this president. Matter of fact, I did. I knew just about everything that everybody else knew about him, but I felt like I had a relationship with him. But that relationship was through a television screen. And so when the helicopters landed, they all landed in a circular position there, and nobody knew which helicopter he came in on, you know, and so they unloaded, they got in their limousines, and they came out a side road, And when they came out the side road, we were standing right there where they were coming out to turn, and everyone's waving and so on. Well, he comes like the third or fourth car, and we could see him looking out just a window about this side, and he was waving at us with that big smile on his face. And I waved at him, and I thought, don't you know who I am? I've seen you for the last 4 years or 8 years. What? Don't you know who I am? He had no idea, but he looked like he knew who I was because he was smiling and waving at me. But I did not know him. He did not know me like I knew him. My point in saying all of that is this. He waved at me like he knew me, but he didn't know me. So my question to you tonight is this. So preacher, I believe in Jesus. I believe he came from heaven to this earth, died on the cross for my sins, was buried in the grave, and on the third day he rose. I believe all that. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. But the devils aren't going to heaven. Do you know Jesus? Was your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you trusted him as your Savior? If not, that may be the reason you're having a hard time with that broad road. Could it possibly be that you do not know him as your Savior? One day, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day we will be judged out of the books, and the books will be open, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written there? Will your name be found there? Maybe that's why we're having a hard time with the broad road versus the narrow road. I've pastored people for years that would come to our church and would conform to everything that I would preach. And then for some reason they would decide to leave, and we would find them out and about living completely different lives. And if we're not careful, we'll follow that crowd down that road. Young people, stay with the book. Stay with the book. Follow Jesus. Wherever he leads you, follow. And you'll find yourself years down the road happy that you did. I'm glad to know we made the right decision many years ago. If we had not, we would not be here tonight. We would not be here tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the attention of these dear people. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you gave me to stand here and preach. I know I'm not Pastor Butts. There's no way I could be. But I've preached to you, to them, what you've given me to preach. God, please bless now. In Jesus' name.